So therefore, Father, we just come to you this morning. And we will now ask you, Father, to come and share with us. Thanks for meeting with us. Thank you, Father, that we can just declare that this is holy ground in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, that we can declare that in this place you will be glorified. And Father, because you called each of us, we will go out of this place later today and you will be glorified because of your Spirit inside of us. Thank you, Father, for your presence. Thank you for who you are. Thank you for Jesus, for the price that was paid for us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thanks, guys. Have a seat. Next Sunday, we'll talk about protocol. You know, I think so often what we do is we forget that God is a king. And you know, when you want to get closer to a king, there's a certain protocol that's important. And so often we want to get closer to God and it's almost like we want to treat him as a normal human being. And then we pray and stuff and we don't understand, but why is our prayers, why doesn't it get answered? Why is it that it feels like we're not stepping into the presence of God? And the answer for that is because there's a certain protocol. There's a certain way of getting closer to a king. There's a certain way of getting closer to God. So next week we'll talk about that protocol and when we pray, how to pray, that kind of stuff. And in a friendly way today, I want to ask you to please be on time next Sunday. Church starts at 9. And I don't want to embarrass anyone now. So, but why I'm saying that is because next week on this topic, it's not what I want to do, but you're going to feel embarrassed if you were late last week, if you understand what I'm saying, of next week. So please be on time. Yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. Yeah, you know, sometimes you prepare a sermon and then in the morning like this, you just realize, okay, that's not for this morning. God has got something else on his heart. And yeah, even with the worship, you know, when the screen died on us and later on the sound died on us and everything, it's so easy for us, I think, to get to that place, okay, but now what now? You know, what's going on now? Why isn't anything working? But what we forget so often is that God is so much bigger than all of those things. God don't need music or sound equipment and technology to be glorified. And sometimes, you know, like in the morning, like this morning, God can just come to us and say, listen, just be quiet for a while. Just put everything aside and focus on me. And I really believe that that's what God did this morning with us. And that's why it's important for us when God talks and when he want to do something in our lives, that our focus will shift to where he's at and to where he want to go. So what I want to talk about this morning is I'm going to talk a little bit on forgiveness, or you know, maybe on freedom. I think it's so often what we do is we talk about the price that Jesus paid for us. We talk about being free because of Jesus Christ. We talk about the blood and what Jesus did on the cross and the fact that he bought our freedom. But the question we need to ask this morning is, so are we free? Are we really in a place that we can declare this morning, but I am free? Because the price was paid. But if the price was paid and I'm not free, then something is wrong somewhere. I'm going to read a scripture, Matthew 18 from verse 21. Then Peter came up and said to him, Lord, how often will my brother sin against me and I forgive him? As many as seven times? This is Matthew 18 from verse 21. As many as seven times, Jesus said to him, I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants. When he began to settle, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he could not pay, his master ordered him to be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. So the servant fell on his knees, imploring him, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the master of the servant released him and forgave him the debt. But when the same servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And seizing him, he began to choke him, saying, pay what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. He refused and went and put him in prison until he should pay the debt. When his fellow servants saw what had taken place, they were greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their master all that had taken place. Then his master summoned him and said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all your debt because you pleaded with me. You should not, and should you not have had mercy on your fellow servants as I had mercy on you? And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. I think this is quite a hectic scripture. If you think about it, is if we listen to the story, if we listen to this parable of what happened here, we hear that, okay, so this king decided it's time for everyone that owes him something, that it's time to repay that. And what this king does is he calls in those people. And with this one guy, you know, he owes so much that God is, this king decide to sell, basically sell him and his wife and children, everything they owe is basically not enough to pay the debt that he's got. And he pleads for forgiveness in that moment, begging for grace. And what happens there is the king decide to get to that place with this guy, saying, okay, but you don't have to pay me. We can put this aside. Don't worry about it anymore. And then that guy go out, and outside he meet one of his friends that owe him only a little bit of money. And he got into that place of getting this guy into jail, grabbing him at the throat, because you owe me something. I'm not going to let that go. And you see, this guy that received the grace from the king is not in a place of freedom. He's in a place where he don't experience the freedom that's given to him. He's free. His debt was cancelled. But it's like he don't experience that. There's still something having a grip or a hold on him. And what this scripture is actually talking about is it's talking about forgiveness. It's talking about me and you, where we at. Because a price was paid for each of us. All our sins are forgiven. All the debt that you've got, our king wiped that clean. But then sometimes we still go out and we can't forgive others. Sometimes we're still in that same place where we basically say, but okay, I realize now all my debt it's moved away from me. I don't have it anymore. I'm wiped clean. But then you drive down the road and you pass someone on the way. And there you see that guy or that person that did something to you in your past. And maybe you don't get out of your car and go grab him at the throat. But in your heart, you're at that place of, you know, that thing that person did to me, I can't forgive that person for what he did to me. And maybe for some of us, it can be a parent. It can be a friend. It can be a previous boyfriend or girlfriend. It can be your husband or your wife. Where you're in that place of can't forgive. So then you're in the same place as this guy. You're not free. It says in Matthew 6 verse 12, if you go look at the Lord's Prayer, that one verse 12, it says, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. What does it mean? In the same way I forgive others, please forgive me. So if I don't forgive others, don't forgive me. And where are we if our sins aren't forgiven? I think we're in a very dangerous place where we can't go to heaven. We can't step into having a relationship with God. And so often what happens is, I think with all of us, we've got things in our past, things that happened to us, and we can't let it go. So our past determines our future. Those things that happened in our past, because I can't let it go, I drag it with me everywhere I go. So maybe you're at a place where you had a bad relationship in your past, and you can't forgive that person for what he or she did to you. So that thing is still stuck with you. And you know what? When you move into your next relationship, you take that in there with you. Now you expect your next relationship to be better than the previous one, but it can't. Because of the baggage that you chose to bring in there with you. The only way we can really get free, if we can get to that place of cutting ourselves off with the baggage that's behind us, with the things that happened in our past. And yes, we can learn from our past. I think if we made mistakes, if we made choices, we can learn from that. We can look at that. And we can realize, okay, this is what I did wrong. But then we need to let it go. We can't take it to the future with us. For those of you that don't know, I'm also a carpenter. So I know a lot of that stuff. And you know, sometimes what you do is you restore a piece of furniture. So you take an old piece of furniture and you want to restore that so that you can use it again. And the first thing you'll do with that old piece of furniture, you'll remove all the rotten pieces of wood and you'll replace that. And then you'll sand that thing down back to the raw wood. And that's quite a process. You know, sometimes after sanding it down, that thing looks even worse than when you started with it. But that's what you need to do, is you first need to sand it down, get to the raw wood, before you can apply another coat of varnish or another coat of oil or something to seal it again so that it looks beautiful. Because if you don't, you can take that piece of furniture and you can put some varnish on there. But it's not going to be long, and then that old stuff underneath that will start to surface. And that's exactly what happens with us if we can't let go. We go through something, and it's like we just cover up, just putting on something new. Going into a new relationship, maybe into a new job, maybe make another investment, whatever it is. Doing new things, but with the old stuff still there, just covered up. And it won't be long and the old stuff will start to surface. It will start to come up. And it will spoil the new thing. I'm going to read you a scripture, if I can find it. Ephesians 4, from verse 26. So the question we might ask ourselves is, okay, so I realize I need to change. I realize that something needs to happen here. I realize that for me to be free, for me to walk into that place where I am free, I need to forgive others. I think we all realize that. I think most of us, or maybe all of us, we Christians here, we know all the Christian things, right? The Christian thing is, yeah, you forgive others. Right? Okay? So we all know that. But what happens if we don't do it? What happens if we don't forgive others? Remember what I said is, we need to forgive others to become free. If we can't forgive, we won't become free. Listen to Ephesians 4 from verse 26. Be angry and do not sin. Not a lot of scriptures in the Bible telling you to be angry, is there? Okay, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace for those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Maybe someone did something to you in your past, whether that past is this morning, last week, or when you were a child. Maybe someone did something to you. And what God comes and tells us in the scripture, he starts off by saying, be angry and do not sin. So what he says, it's fine to get angry. You know, sometimes something happens, someone does something to you, and you get angry. And he said, it's fine. But he also said, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Now, I remember when we were small, our parents told us, but never go sleep angry with someone. And I always thought it's the reason why she said that is that maybe that person die or you die and then you've got a problem. And it might mean that. But it says in verse 27, and give no opportunity to the devil. Because you see what happens, it's fine to get angry, but if you can't let it go, if you allow the sun to go down on your anger, it means you're not letting it go, you're hanging on to it. And by doing that, verse 27, give opportunity to the devil. If you hang on to the anger, you give the devil opportunity, an open door to step into your life. And is that what we want to do? Listen to the next verse, verse 28. It says, let the thief no longer steal. Who's the thief? The thief is that person that, it's not the devil. The thief is that person who did something against you. That person stole from you. Maybe he stole your joy. Maybe he stole your freedom. Let the thief no longer steal. Because you see, if you're in that place of not forgiving that person, you're allowing that person to steal from you. Let the thief no longer steal. You've got the power to stop that process of that person stealing from you. And what does he steal? It's your freedom. That person did something to you in your past, but you can stop it there. Now you allow that person to steal your future from you as well. Because you take that person with you to the future. But if you can let it go, if you can let him go or her go, she's not stealing from you anymore. He's not stealing from you anymore. But if you can't, that process of stealing from you, it carries on. It's still, that person is keep on stealing from you day by day. And it's your choice. You see, often what we think is that if we, in that place of someone did something to me, now I'm cross with that person, so I'm not going to let him or her go. But him or her is not the one in bondage, you are. By forgiving, you're letting yourself go. By not forgiving, you allow that situation, that thing that happened, to keep you prisoner. Now, I know we know all the right scriptures when it comes to forgiveness. I know that all of us, we say, you know, that we talk about the grace of God. We talk about forgiveness, you know, the things that God did for us. I know when it comes to forgiveness and grace that we'll say, but, you know, God has got a lot of grace for me and for you. So even if at this stage I'm not ready to forgive yet, the grace of God is there for me. Yes, in the same measure that you've got for that person. You see, we need to extend the grace that we receive from God, we need to extend that to the persons that sin against us, that did something wrong against us. And then you maybe you say, but that person don't deserve it. You know, for what that person did to me, that person don't deserve my grace. Do you deserve God's grace? Do you? I don't. But still His grace is there for me. So although I don't deserve it, I receive the grace of God. So I'm forgiven. And therefore I need to extend it to the people that sin against me, to forgive them, to give grace to them. Otherwise I'm in bondage. And I think maybe this morning why God has led me to this word, talking about forgiveness, is because a price was paid for each of us to have relationship with our Father. His blood was shed. Why? So that me and you can have relationship with Him. But what happens, and this is the thing that we don't realize, is by not extending that grace, by not forgiving others, God can't have relationship with us. And that is hard. Is to have a relationship with us. God is crying out to have a relationship with me and with you. But to have that relationship, we need to be able to extend our grace to other people. We need to forgive others, and we need to let go of others. So actually, it's not about how we feel. It's not about even the things that happened in our past. You see, because I think a lot of times what we do is we use our past as an excuse of where we're at. You know, I'm at this place because of that thing that happened to me back there. Do you know, there's a lot of testimonies of people outside there, but also inside here. There's a lot of testimonies of people They can tell you stories of really bad things that happened to them. And if you look at them and if you listen to them, you'll think by yourself, but I don't see it. Why is it that I don't see the scars of your past in your life today? And if you really sit down and listen to their story, somewhere in there you'll hear them say, I have decided. I have decided to forgive that person. I have decided to stand up, to move on, to let it go. I have decided. A price was paid for our freedom. But for me and you to get to that place, to start to walk in it, you need to decide. You need to decide to let it go. Not to hang on to it. Not to take it with you to the future. And you do that by forgiving. By extending grace. Can I ask that you just share the communion stuff with everyone? And Adrian, can you just come to the front with your guitar, please? We go to John 13. This is the place where the disciples and Jesus came together for the last time, breaking bread together for the last time before he got captured. And I'm reading from verse 24. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, Lord, who is it? He's talking about, you know, Jesus, who's the one that's going to betray you? Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, it is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it. So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, what you are going to do, do quickly. Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money back, Jesus was telling him, buy what we need for the feast, or what he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. So what happened here is, Jesus was sitting at the table, and he was asked, but Lord, who's going to betray you? And what he said is, he said, I'm going to dip this bread, and then after I dipped it, I'm going to give it to someone. And it will be that person. But what we need to understand here about this piece of scripture is the custom of that time. You know, when people got together, I think we know they ate together. They broke bread together. But the interesting thing is that normally what happened is they get together around the table, and then the host will stand up, he will take a piece of bread, he will break it, and he will share it with someone. That first piece of bread, when he breaks it, he gives it to someone. But what is happening in that moment, or what it meant for them when they did that, is when you take that bread and you break it and you give it to someone, by handing it to that first person, what you're actually asking him is, you're asking him, will you stand in covenant with me? That's what happens. So what happened around this table is, Jesus was taking the bread, breaking the bread, knowing the future, handing it to Judas. Basically saying to him, don't do it, man. I know your plans, but still, I want covenant with you. I'm giving you a last opportunity not to do it. Don't do it, man. Take this bread. Get into covenant with me. That's what happened there. Because he was asking Judas for the last time, please, man, don't do this. It doesn't have to be this way. And when that person receives it, and they eat together, what he does is basically is implying and saying, okay, yes, I'll stand in covenant with you. I've got your back. But what he did is he took it, he stood up, and he walked out, telling Jesus, no, I'm not in covenant with you. I'm not standing with you. So this morning what happens is we've got communion. And I'm not handing you bread and wine or grape juice. But what happens here this morning is Jesus is standing in front of you. And he's handing you his body. He's handing you his flesh and his blood. And he's handing it out to you and he's telling you, listen, man, I want covenant with you. This relationship is not something where we just take it lightly. I want covenant with you. He's saying, I'm willing to die for you. And you know it because he did. And he's also asking you, but are you willing to die for me? Are you willing to lay down your life for me? Because that's covenant. That's what a covenant is. So Jesus this morning is in this place and he's handing himself to you and asking you, do you want covenant with me? Will you stand in covenant with me? But if you say yes, you need to be willing to die on yourself. You need to be willing to extend my grace to others. You need to be willing to forgive others. Just as I'm forgiving you. That's the place he's calling us to. So this morning you can take the bread that represents the body of Christ. And don't think about it as we're sitting in church and we're just having communion this morning. But I want you to, where you're sitting, just to think about this for a moment. Of Jesus handing you his body, asking you to stand in covenant with him, to lay down your life. And maybe you're sitting here now and you think, okay, but you know that there's that one person. There's someone from your past. There's something happened. And you realize this morning it's time to let it go. Because you want to walk into that place of freedom to where he's calling you. But you can't go there if you can't let it go. And we're just going to be quiet here for a while. Now I want to ask you to just to bring that before God. And just to make a choice this morning to forgive. To extend the same grace that was given to you. So you can just sit there and bring that before God. And when you're ready, you can take the bread that he's given you, his body. Father, today we just want to thank you for Jesus and for the price that he paid for us. Jesus, we thank you for your body. We thank you for sacrificing yourself for us to be forgiven and to be free. We thank you, Father, for a price that you paid for each of us to be in a relationship with you. And Father, also we just want to thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you that this morning we can declare that the blood of Jesus is enough. The blood of Jesus is strong enough. That with the blood of Jesus we are washed clean from all our sins. Thank you for that grace. Thank you also that we can declare by the blood of Jesus we are healed. In Jesus' mighty name. So therefore we just take this blood. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. And we want to thank you, Father, that you're calling each of us to a place of freedom, a place of living our lives the way you decided it for it to be. Thank you, Father, that we can know that a price was paid for us, for our freedom. And I think maybe, Father, a lot of us, we've got things and people in our past and we're still hanging on to it. We want to ask you, Father, to help us to let it go, to release that. Can you just open up your arms? I just want to pray a blessing over you where you're sitting. Father, and I just want to come now in this moment, and I just want to declare over every person here your freedom in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I'm just praying over each of them that you'll give them the ability to forgive and to let go. Father, I'm just declaring over every person here that their past won't determine their future, but you will. Thank you, Father, that you are able to make us loose from our past, to put the past behind us, and to focus on you and to focus on our future, to the places you choose to let us go. Father, so I just pray your joy now over every person in this place, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And I declare, Father, that we all are free and all of them are free because of the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's enough for each of us. So, Father, therefore, this morning we just want to glorify you. We just want to declare, Father, that you are a good Father. Thank you, Father, that we can know that you are our King, but also you're our Father. We're standing in a relationship with you. You're not a God up there somewhere. You're a God down here between us, wanting a relationship with each of us. And we just praise you for that, Father. Thank you, Father, for calling us to you. And Father, as we go out of this place today, my prayer is that you will be glorified through each of us, through everything we say and everything we do. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And we all say together, amen. Okay, there's coffee and tea in the back. If there's anyone else that, and you feel maybe, but it's like you still got something to sort out with God this morning, please come to the front. We'd like to pray with you. But otherwise, go out, have a blessed day and a blessed week. In Jesus' name. Thank you. Amen.